was a very, very long-term member of Grove for a number of years, to come now and give her tribute to Lillian, Elizabeth.
Well, it's lovely to be with you today. It's a sad occasion for you, I know. But as Paul has said already, it's a happy occasion too. And I just want to say I'm especially pleased to meet all Lillian's family, because for many years, probably about 15 years, we met together to pray every Tuesday afternoon, and she loved you all so much. And every one of you was prayed for. I felt I knew you all, though I hadn't met some of you at all. And she always had that longing that each one of you would follow her to heaven. And we used to pray so often for you. And I remember Charlie very well. And Charlie probably remembers me, don't you? Yeah, that's right. But Lillian was a wonderful blessing to me. She came to Grove the year after my mother died. And she was like a second mother to me in many ways. And there were some things about Lillian that probably I've never even seen elsewhere. And I always used to say to Lillian, when you go home to be with Jesus, please, I want to you to pray that I'll have a double portion of your spirit, because her spirit was so sweet. And there were just various things. I was very involved with Lillian. I remember her first coming with a number of people. And we started a work at Danesford Road, where there was a home for Alzheimer's patients. It was the first in the country, so Camberwell is very famous. And we actually went there because my father was in care there. And Lillian really grew to love that work, and she spent lots of time down there. She was a great help to the staff down there. They always loved Lillian turning up. She would sit with people, she would talk with people. And for Lillian, it was very special to her. She said, I can do this. I love doing this. And every Sunday afternoon, for all those years, she would bring the people along ready for the service. They'd all be sitting there when we got there. And she would be there, and everyone loved her. So we had a lot to do with her there. And then, sadly, a bit later on, she said, you know, I don't think I can do this much longer. I'm getting a bit frail, and my hands are a bit tricky, and my legs don't go as they should do. But I should be so sad to give this up. And I said, you know, Lillian, I think perhaps the most important part of your life's work is ahead of you. And she looked a bit mystified. And I said, you know, you have got a ministry of prayer. And so we met up together. We had a folder. I bet some of you remember Lillian's folder. And we put all the missionaries' prayer letters in. And some of them had only been to Grove once, and she'd written to them and said, oh, I really want to pray for you. And if Lillian said, I'm going to pray for you, Lillian prayed. And sometimes I'd get there Tuesday, and she'd had a letter that morning from someone in Japan or South Africa or wherever. And she already knew all the prayer requests. And she would get praying, and we would pray all around the world. And when I first got there, perhaps a bit tired on Tuesday afternoon, there would always be a little treat. There'd be a pear nicely sliced or a few strawberries cut up. And it was just such a joy to be with her. And the other thing that I remember too, that she undertook Alzheimer's research. And she said to me one day, I'm going to do research for Alzheimer's Society. And I said, but Lillian, you haven't got a shred of Alzheimer's about you. She said, I know, but they think my brain is pretty normal for my age, and they need someone normal that they can compare with those with Alzheimer's. So I was quite relieved about that, because Lillian was very clear, wasn't she, right to the end. So that was lovely. She also did the coffee mornings down at Plowright House, and she got very involved with those things. So I just want to just highlight just special qualities of Lillian. I've mentioned the love for her family, which, you know, she really loved you all. And she had a wonderful ministry of encouragement. If you got to Lillian feeling a bit tired and a bit jaded and the world was a bit grey, by the time you came away, you were right restored again. She really had that power of encouragement to lift you up. And that was a real joy. And she's lifted me up many, many a time. I can truly say that. The other thing I've really learnt with Lillian was she was a lady who praised God. Doesn't matter what was happening, how tough the situation was, she always could find something positive to say and say, well, you know what, my old hands wouldn't quite do that anymore, but I found a way around that, she would say. And she'd be so pleased about finding a way around it. And she was just so positive. And that was a real test in me, because old age can be a bit of a sour time sometimes with aches and pains, but for Lillian, no, she was always sweet, always sweet. Maybe, I don't know if anyone ever saw the other side, she wasn't perfect, obviously, but I always found her sweet and gracious. And she was always giving praise to God in all things. And I just really want to say, what changed Lillian was when she came to Grove, she was a churchgoer, and she'd been to church, I think, probably for some years. But when she came here, she met Jesus Christ in a way she'd never met him before. And she often said, I never believed I could do these things. I used to be quite timid and quite anxious. But since he's come on board and he's inside living with me, it's changed everything. And I can do these things now. And you'd often hear her say, blessed Lord Jesus, dear Lord Jesus. And towards the end, she often used to look with expectancy to seeing him face to face. And that's where she is today. She's with him. As sure as I stand on this platform, she is with the Lord. It's not some airy-fairy place with angels and nighties. It's a real place, and she's gone there. And those of us who know the Lord Jesus, we're going to join her. And anyone who doesn't know the Lord Jesus, come and find him as Lillian did. He loves people. He died, loved so much those people. He loved us all that he actually died on that cross so that all our problems and sins can be wiped away and we can go and be with Jesus forever. So that's what she prayed for each one of you, one by one, name by name, that they might know Jesus. Then I'll never be separated forever from them. I'll always be with them. So remember that. And Lillian's prayers follow her. She was a very generous lady. She didn't have a lot in this world's goods. But what she had, she used for God. And she made many rich, as the Bible says. Having been poor, she made many rich. And I think probably all of us here could say she has made each one of us rich in some form, some way. So I just give thanks. And just to me, she was such a blessing. And when I walked in there this morning and saw that lovely table, I just thought, oh, how brilliant. All the memories came flooding back. The bits I've got bits of her crèche all around my house and her little gifts so thoughtfully sent to me. Still got them and treasure them. So I give thanks to God for Lillian and all that he made her and pray that each one of you might follow in her footsteps.
Thank you so much, Elizabeth, for describing Lillian so warmly and so accurately to us. Ruel, a few words from you, brother, as well, about your memories of Lillian.
The reason for this will become clear in a minute. I just have a few things to share this afternoon. Elsie and Iris, I'm very sorry that you've lost your mum. You don't need me to tell you that she loved you very, very much. You too, Charlie. My abiding memory of Lillian will be of a lady who was at peace. There's a hymn that some of you will know, whose first verse goes something like this. When peace like a river attends my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot you have taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Lillian was someone who always did your soul good when you saw or visited her. You went with the noble objective of encouraging her. Inevitably, she was the one that encouraged you. But I came to realize that peace hadn't always been something that was part of Lillian's circumstances. Her peace didn't come from what she experienced, but it came from within her. In fact, it was a peace that was given to her, and which she, through grace, nurtured. One of her favourite phrases was, "Thank you, Lord." She would use it frequently while we were praying. She would use it frequently while we were speaking. She was excited to hear what was going on in our family and in the church family, and was full of thankfulness for the news and what it told her about how her Lord was working. That she was largely housebound for a number of years, that she had a number of physical problems, never once formed a complaint. I'm sure it got her down at times, but she worked hard to count her blessings. And it was much more than just looking on the bright side of life. She was convinced and now knows that there is a God and that he loves her and had saved her, that he was eternally gracious and kind and good and righteous. That's why she would say, "Thank you, Lord." It reflected her spirit and it reflected her experience. The other thing I wanted to say about Lillian was how from her room she reached out to people and to her God in prayer for people. How many 97-year-olds do you know who use email and have iPads? Absolutely. I'm blown away by the way that Lillian seamlessly moved through the decades and with the decades. But she did it because she wanted to know what was going on with her loved ones and to share herself with them. She was thirsty for information to feed her praying. And how Lillian prayed. What a prayer warrior she was. Only eternity will reveal what this dear servant of the Lord accomplished through her praying. As a church, we have a lot of slack to take up now that she is in glory, in prayer. We will miss her terribly. But for our dear Lillian, the waiting is over. Heaven was a place that was dear to her, a place that she longed to go to, not because she wanted to escape life here, though at times no one could forgive her for doing that, but because she longed for something far better than the best that life here could offer, to be face to face with her Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. And she is more alive now than she's ever been.
It's a wonderful thing when what's already been said in a funeral service has been so full, so descriptive of Lillian that I scarcely need to say anything else, really, this morning, but I will, to add my own reflections on Lillian's life and character, but to bring God's word to bear upon the situation and to address especially her family, but all of us here, from God's word. The last verse that Steve read to us just now from Psalm 71, verse 23, says, "My lips will shout for joy when I sing praises to you, my soul also, which you have redeemed." The Bible is God's book, but it's also a very human book. The Bible tells us things that none of us could find out by ourselves because we need God to reveal them to us. But at the same time, the Bible talks about real people and real lives. And the Psalms, which are found right in the middle of the Bible, give us a full, rich, accurate, honest description of God's people and the experiences which they pass through. And when I was thinking through where to go in the Bible to talk for a short time about Lillian this afternoon, I very soon alighted on Psalm 71. This is a psalm that could almost have been written about Lillian had David, the psalmist of 3,000 years ago, known Lillian. Why? Well, for a number of reasons. I suppose verse 18 talks about old age and grey hairs. That might be a reason to choose these verses. It might be, it isn't, but it might be. Lillian lived to a very great and grand old age, well into her 98th year. I was reflecting earlier this week that I have never, ever known personally in my life anyone who has lived as long as Lillian. But it's not her great age that marks her out as special. Indeed, as Ruel has already told us, she seemed much younger than she actually was, with her adaptation to iPads and internet and email with an ease that would put to shame some people less than half Lillian's age. But I don't want to talk about that. There's one word that kept coming back to me as I thought about Lillian and when I found it in this psalm and saw it in the hymns we've been singing as well. This word kept on echoing, and the word is joy. Ruel has spoken of peace. Well, peace and joy are the closest of companions. Lillian radiated joy, true, deep, real, lasting joy. One of the hymns we sometimes sing here ends by saying, solid joys and lasting treasures none but Zion's children know. And the joy of Lillian Brighton was the joy, the solid joy, of a true child of God. I mentioned joy, and Ruels mentioned peace, and indeed in the letter to the Galatians, Paul lists 9 fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit, he says, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. It's a 9-fold fruit. It's a fruit that the Lord's people have in growing measure, and Lillian exhibited each of these. But it's the joy I want to think about this afternoon. What is the secret of that joy? What is the source of that joy? How can you and I know that joy that Lillian knew? 3 brief observations. Lillian's joy was the joy of the Christian believer who knows the great and mighty deeds of God. It's a theme that runs through the whole of this psalm and these verses that we've had read to us this afternoon. It speaks about righteous acts, deeds of salvation, mighty deeds, wondrous deeds, your might, your great things, and so on, the great deeds of the Lord. And Lillian was uniquely remarkable as a Christian saint. I'll tell you why. Generally, when I go and visit people to talk with them, to encourage them, to read with them, to pray with them, it usually falls to me to say, well, we'll turn to the Bible and maybe we'll turn to this particular passage. But not with Lillian. Oh, no, no. With Lillian it was, read Psalm 32 to me. Read Psalm 91 to me. She knew what she wanted to read. She'd been reading it that morning or the previous evening. And she knew her Bible. She loved her Bible. Especially the reading of the Psalms. The praying over the Psalms. It was, for Lillian, her food and drink. It was, for Lillian, her very oxygen. It was the bread and the breath of life to her. Lillian loved her Bible. Why? Because she loved the God who does wondrous deeds. And as Ruel has said, and it's true for me also in great measure, to go to Lillian was for me to be pastored by a pastoral lady, a tender-hearted, godly, warm, God-loving saint of God. We've heard Lillian described by Ruel and indeed by Elizabeth as a prayer warrior. Because with Lillian, conversation and prayer more or less merged into one. When you were talking with Lillian, praying with Lillian, it was seldom clear whether she was praying or simply talking, because the great mighty works of God were the substance of her prayers, the substance and the source of her joy. And then secondly, Lillian's joy was a joy which overcame the hardships of her life. You can see from the date at the front of the order of service that Lillian was born just 2 weeks before the armistice was signed in 1918, which ended the First World War. And the life of her own family, of her own generation, like countless others, was blighted by the horrors of the First World War. Much of her life which followed was hard and was painful. Family sadness, bereavements, struggles with health, with mental health. Verse 20 in this psalm is most relevant to Lillian. You who have made me see many troubles and calamities. And troubles and calamities with Most people have the effect of making them bitter. The natural human response to hard circumstances is to become bitter and resentful. And I knew Lillian for a little over 18 months, and I know, because we are all the same in our hearts, that there would have been times of great struggle and even resentment or anger from her. That's the way that we all are. And yet, at such a time in her life, the Lord stepped in so graciously. I've brought here, courtesy of Lillian's daughters, a copy of an old Grove Chapel magazine from 1993 entitled Inside Out. And in those days there was no 59ers or zone in, there was 7-Up instead. That's how old it is, 7-Up. Well, and on here is a little picture of Lillian and Lillian's testimony, where she speaks of what took place in June 1981. She says, I quote, "I was praying about someone in a disapproving fashion, asking God to make that person whole, when I experienced God's presence. I became aware of my unworthiness and of my own need to be made whole. In asking him for forgiveness, God's saving grace, God's loving kindness, redeemed me through Christ Jesus. From then on, I have grown spiritually." And she goes on to say, well, when I turn to 1 Thessalonians 5:17, it says, "Pray without ceasing." That's Lillian's praying secret and source. And she then goes on to say, "I realize with certainty that the precious blood of Jesus, shed on the cross at Calvary, cleansed me and gave me new life that evening I prayed in 1981. Thirdly, finally, Lillian's joy was a joy which accompanied and advertised and proclaimed new life, that new life that she spoke of in her testimony. That was 1981. Quick bit of maths. She was nearly 63 at the time. But just as the king of Judah, Hezekiah, at a certain point in his life, in old age, seemed to be about to die, and the Lord added 15 years to his life, the Lord added 35 more years to Lillian's life. And her life became more beautiful the longer it went on. Years in which she both enriched and was enriched by her fellowship with God's people, and especially here at Grove Chapel. I could equally this afternoon have turned to Psalm 92 and some verses from Psalm 92 which describe Lillian absolutely perfectly. "The righteous flourish like the palm tree and grow like a cedar in Lebanon. They are planted in the house of the Lord. They flourish in the courts of our God. They still bear fruit in old age. They are ever full of sap and green to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him." Sometimes we get in September and October an Indian summer where the sunshine, the warmth, the pleasantness, the mellowness just goes on and on into the autumn. And from all that I know of Lillian, from so many of you and what I saw of her myself, she was like an ongoing, virtually never-ending Indian summer. The joys, as well as the sorrows of the members of her church family, were her own joys and sorrows. Not often here in person, although, praise God, towards the end she was on a number of occasions. But even in her room in Plowright House or Lime Tree House, there she entered fully into the lives of God's people. My first meeting with Lillian, early September 2014, I went round with Ruel to visit Lillian, and Ruel happened to tell her that His son Aaron had just got a place at Cambridge University. And Lillian could have jumped out of her chair. She said, "Yes!" like that. As if she'd won a place at Cambridge University. Oh, if she'd gone there, she'd have been great, wouldn't she? She had a special delight and interest in the lives of children. We would go round to both her homes, and the fridge was always stocked full of fizzy drinks, and her cupboard full of chocolate. And she remembered birthdays. And there was an incredible generosity of spirit in Lillian because this Indian summer of her life went on and on. But this is because, you see, as I come to a close, I ask again, what is the secret? What is the source? What's it all about? Why? Why was she like this? Why are all the pictures of Lillian on that display at the back of her with a great broad grin on her face? Why? What's it all about? Because her joy was the joy of the believer who knows and knew that God would do all that he said he would do. It says, "You who have made me see many troubles and calamities will revive me again. From the depths of the earth, you will bring me up again." What's that all about? It's fulfilled in the resurrection. Whose resurrection? I'll tell you. The resurrection of Jesus Christ, her Lord, and linked to that, inextricably bound up with that, the resurrection of all who put the trust of their own soul and life in Jesus Christ, including our sister Lillian Brighton, who one day will rise and have a new body and live forever as surely and certainly as her Lord and Savior Jesus Christ rose from the grave. Let me be very honest with all of you now for a few moments. Let's not hide anything. Death is never pleasant. Death itself is never good news. We say about some people that their death was expected. We might even say about some that death was a release, a kind of mercy, an end to suffering. But death itself is always a tragic occurrence. Mankind was made in the image of God to be immortal, to live forever as God does. Death only came into this world as a tragic, unwelcome intruder when sin entered. The wages of sin, of your sin and mine, is death. So how could Lillian be sure that she would live again, that she would rise, that she would see her Savior? How can we be sure that now, as we speak here, Lillian is in the unbroken fellowship of her Savior, Jesus Christ? It's because she knew him. She called upon him. She loved him because he first loved her. And as has been said by Elizabeth, I would say it again now to all of you here, the abiding prayer of Lillian that I often shared with, that her own family might know the same Savior. This is the source of Lillian's joy. It's the only source of real, substantial, lasting joy for anyone. We're only in this world for a short time. Even 97 years will pass in the end. But it was never meant to be that we should live only a while and then die and then that be the end, and then judgment to follow. Jesus Christ revealed himself to Lillian. Jesus Christ, through people like Lillian, makes himself known to you today. He was and is and remains her joy and the joy of all God. God's people. Lillian's joy was not a hidden, private, personal thing kept from public view. It was there for all to see. It shouted from the rooftops. Why? So that we might all see, love, and embrace the Jesus who had loved and embraced and continues to love and embrace dear Lillian.
First of all, I would like to thank everyone for attending today to celebrate the life of Lillian Elsie Brighton. I want to tell you a story, and it starts like this. Once upon a time, there lived a princess called Lillian Elsie Brighton. She was and always will be my mum and one of my best friends. My mum and I were a partnership forged from the first day of the week's labour she endured before I was born in November 51 at Roxton Road, just around the corner from where she last lived. It fascinated mum that she had come full circle, so to speak. Mum took pleasure in the simple things in life. She had exquisite taste and loved minute, precise detail. Mum had many interests: poetry, the weather, nature, co-breaker puzzles, knitting, crochet, dressmaking, cooking, and of course, the Bible. We had a long conversation once about the lips of cups and which type she preferred. We also had a conversation about stewardship, not least of which expounding the merits of protecting your goods and chattels. Mum was extremely good at looking after, being a good steward, of all her worldly goods. I'm now also beginning to realise that she has sown the seeds of the teachings of the Bible in me. I was fortunate to have been born into a diverse family. My father's background is Irish Catholic, coming from a large, close-knit family. My mum's background is less fortunate than my dad's. Mum came from a large family that was dispersed 5 months after she was born due to my granddad Richard being detained in an institution in early 1919, and my grandmother, Adelaide Victoria, was left unable to cope with 8 children, the youngest of which was my mum. Mum never knew her parents or all of her brothers and sisters. My mum ran away from her carers at the age of 14 and made her way through life metaphorically on her own since then, explaining why mum was fiercely independent, self-reliant, and unable at times to cope with family dynamics. How she became the super amazing mum my brothers and sisters had the privilege to be brought up by, I marvel at. I put it down to all the conversations we had about her faith and beliefs. Mum constantly told me how the Lord looked after her, and indeed I witnessed how he sustained, fulfilled, and kept her safe. I have never been a regular churchgoer, and I don't know if I'm ever likely to be. And Mum was surprised when I told her that I do pray twice a day, and I say goodnight to her and other family relatives when I go to bed each night. Mum urged me to read the Bible as, "If there's anything you need to know about life, Elsie, it's all in the Bible." I had to confess to her I have difficulty in understanding the way it is written, to which she swiftly told me, "It doesn't matter, just read it." I would now like to read you the testimony my mum had published in Grows Inside Out. Right, Lillian was brought up in Atcham, a village in Shropshire, where a fine old bridge spans the River Severn. As good as the next. All my life, I thought I was a Christian, attending Sunday school and church intermittently. Christened and confirmed into the Church of England, I knew about God and Jesus. I would say prayers, and in my mind, I was as good a Christian as the next one. It was not until an evening in June 1981 that my life changed. Aware of need. I was praying about someone in a disapproving fashion, asking God to make that person whole. When I experienced God's presence, I became aware of my unworthiness and of my own need to be made whole. In asking him for forgiveness, God's saving grace redeemed me through Christ Jesus. From then on, I have grown spiritually, rich beyond measure. Daily Bible reading, listening regularly to the preaching of God's holy word, and hearing the spiritual truths found therein expounded with the added blessing of church fellowship makes me rich beyond measure. Certainty. Now, when I turn to 1 Thessalonians 5:17, where it says, pray without ceasing, I realise with certainty that the precious blood of Jesus shed on the cross at Calvary cleansed me and gave me new life that evening I prayed in 1981. I'd like to say a few words from my son Charles. What is grandma? A grandma is patient and kind with a heart that is tender with care. A grandma is the one you can turn to and trust. When you need her, she'll always be there. I would like to say that my oldest brother, unfortunately, is so grief-stricken he can't be here today, but I know he's here with us in spirit, and he loves you lots, Mum. Right, your turn.
Sit down now.
Hello everyone, thank you so much for coming. Having lived for 97 years, there's a lot to say about Lillian Brighton. We loved her and she loved us. Our gracious, precious mum, grandma, great grandma, auntie, great auntie, great great auntie. It is a testament to her that you are here today. We were fortunate to have her for so long. Her philosophy for life was to get on with it. Just do the next ordinary thing. In spite of her suffering, various setbacks, she always looked on the bright side of life, doing her best to get on with it. Mum had 4 children, 5 great-grandchildren and 5 grandchildren. And we've been in touch with long-lost relatives in recent years. Her early years were spent with very little contact with her birth family, and as you've already heard, she ran away aged 14 and never went back. She always had work and had somewhere to live. Lillian married our dad, Jim, in September 1942, and she told me very, very recently that he said to her, I want to get you a present. What can I give you? And do you know what she said? A baby. So her present was a baby son, Joe, born in July 1943. Throughout our childhood, Mum nurtured us, fed us, made clothes for us. She was a great cook, and we remember well the wonderful meals, cakes and buns she made. Obviously, she did lots of other things, and she did various part-time work throughout our childhood, including hospital orderly work in King's College Hospital. She was an inspiring and courageous example of how to cope with the difficulties and obstacles in life that beset us all. In her retirement, Mum carried on doing as much as she could, and she joined the WRVS doing voluntary work. She carried out many tasks, including visiting a blind couple and escorting disabled people on outings. And as you know, she was 90 when she got her laptop, and BT Helpline taught her how to use it. Hello, Lillian, how can we help you today? With the help of my sister Elsie, Mum progressed to an iPad. She had a mobile phone and learnt to send text. I think Joe taught her how to send text. She was a determined, amazing lady who loved life. And as Paul has already said, her joy shone out of her. Whatever was going on, she made something good out of it. Her Christian faith was her rock. We thank everyone in Grove Chapel, the past ministers and other people that she kept in touch with throughout the world, for the love and kindness given to her. And Paul told me recently that when he visited Lillian, he always came away feeling uplifted. A special thank you to my sister Elsie for all your support to Mum in her final years.
Come on.
Finally, thank you and farewell, Mum. We will miss you badly and keep you safe in our hearts forever.
Well done.
Thank you. So I'm Louise. I'm Lillian's oldest granddaughter. And this is Sarah, my sister. So most of you here today will know my grandma as Mrs. Lillian Brighton. My first memory is of a lovely lady with sometimes blue or purple hair, which I thought was really exotic, and that her name was Mrs. Higginbottom. And she was a customer in my shop who took hours and hours to buy things and made me laugh when she played shops with me when I was very small. As I got older, I realised just how wonderful grandmas and granddads could be. Holidays, sleepovers, and how exotic. They had a bird in their house. As I got older still, my grandma was an intelligent, calming, benign influence as a result of her incredible faith and belief in God, which is what I came to realise. Over the years, she treasured every little gift that I made her, and I really look forward to seeing her and listening to her stories about her life. I've always been very proud and amazed at her strength and good humour, and I can only hope that some of those traits will develop in me. I am sure that all her grandchildren feel the same. Thank you, Mrs. Higginbottom, for playing with me and teaching me to take pleasure in everything life has to offer, especially the trees and the bird song, and taking the time to play and laugh. Grandma, you lived an ordinary life in an extraordinary way, and I love you all the worlds. Thank you for teaching me the power of faith.
Hi, my name's Sarah. Lillian Elsie Brighton's my grandmother, as you know. She always had her special smile and always gave me her time and undivided attention. She was an absolute inspiration to us all, and a special grandma, and an amazing great-grandma to my three beautiful sons. I have so many special memories to cherish and give thanks to Grandma to her unconditional love throughout my life. I used to spend a lot of time with my grandma on a regular basis, and she taught me many things I'm grateful for. She shared her love of wildlife, especially birds. We used to sit and watch them visiting the bird table. Grandma would do a running commentary of the birds' supposed conversation, which was magical and also comical. A great introduction to bird watching. She used to take me along with her when she was doing her voluntary work at a nursing home, which I enjoyed, and I later went on to do nursing myself. She gave me a place to sleep when I needed it, a truly amazing woman of 97 years, an astonishing amount of time to be on this planet. And love you, Grandma.